Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 294, episode one of
Dear Daily Zeitgeist,
a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's sheer consciousness. It's Thursday, July 6th, 2023.
Woo!
Wow, this feels kind of spot on, and I don't want to be stereotypical, but it's National Fried Chicken Day and National Sushi Hand Roll Day.
Wow.
At the same damn time. It's also National International Kissing Day. And the image is of two parrots kissing, which again now evokes the
very
pigeons now kiss. But anyway, yeah, look, a wonderful day. Wonderful day.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Well, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Do-do-do, Grim has come. Do-do-do, Grim has come. You put the bang bang into my gut. It makes my heart sky high when my guzzling starts. Grim has come into my shake. Goes a drip, drip, drip till my tummy aches. That is courtesy of Casserole Casanova. Thank you, Casserole Casanova. I needed to get a Grimace come one in because we are thought leaders in the Grimace shake space. They did. The meme did turn from people drinking the Grimace come milkshake and suddenly horrible things happening to them to over the weekend.
Yeah.
A lot of Grimace come milkshake bukkake videos, which we were on to it. We were on this thing.
The leading edge.
This is maybe the proudest I've ever been of anything we've done with this podcast.
And on this, fried chicken and sushi hand roll day, of all days.
That's right. Of all days. You come to me on fried chicken and sushi hand roll day and tell me about this.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
You don't got a big day, but you say your ass is clean. But you say your ass is clean, whoa, baby!
You, Lockeroni, thank you for that, Just a Friend, a.k.a. Because when Jacques was on last week, we were talking about the bidet. It's the only way to guarantee. Just got a power wash, you know? Get that thing clean. Yeah, bidets all day. Thank you so much for having me.
All bidet. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined by one of our favorite guests here on the podcast.
Bigger than a guest, though.
The original hip-hop. Day one super producer of the Daily Zeitgeist and many of the first-rate podcasts on this network, such as This Is Important, Las Culturistas.
Heard of those.
You've heard her on her podcast with Shireen, Ethnically Ambiguous.
Oh, yeah.
And on segments of this show, such as Honest Streaming Corner, TM. It's the mind behind the iconic phrase. Mm-hmm. That's prestige casting. Mm-hmm. It's super producer Anna Hosnier!
Wow. Thank you so much for having me. Oh, my God. Half the things you were introducing me as, I couldn't remember I did. Oh, it's so nice being back.
How was your 4th of July weekend?
I'm so exhausted. You guys are the first people I've spoken to all morning.
You have that morning voice.
I had a meeting this morning. And I straight up was like, I'm not really available right now.
I'll just be honest.
But yeah, no, this morning I woke up. I don't know why, but doing 4th of July on a Tuesday is...
Something about it.
Yeah.
It's not okay.
This doesn't feel like it should be happening right now.
No,
this podcast. Like, it doesn't feel like we should be recording a podcast right now.
To be honest, I would have preferred to have the 5th off than the 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah, get a little Monday.
Having your 4th of July feel like a Sunday was a little bit weird. And it definitely threw a wrench in my gears. But anyway, it is what it is. It didn't stop the neighborhood from exploding, though, with constant fireworks.
Yeah.
Did you guys find, and Jack, I know you're out of town because I follow all your sort of doings on your wife's Instagram. But
My doings and my leavings.
I know like everything. I know everything Jack wears and does.
How'd I look this weekend? How was I pulling off?
You had a nice hat at one point. Anyway, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm such a fucking weirdo. But Miles, nice did you notice? There was
fireworks?
A hat. I'll talk to you about it offline. But Miles, did you notice there was sort of a haze over LA last night? Was that the fireworks?
I don't know. We had like a terrible air quality warning.
Right.
But also, for the amount of fireworks that were going off, I would believe that is just residual gunpowder or some shit in the air. Because it was wild. Last night, even when it wasn't going up like immediately around me, off in the distance, it was just...
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and this morning it looked fucking... I don't know what the fuck it burned off.
You look at the weather report and it's just iconic, like little... Firework clip emojis. Art of fireworks.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was like trying that last night when I was driving home. I was like, there is a serious haze over the city of LA. Is it fireworks or are we just having like a weird overcast moment?
In my mind, I want to go really fucked up.
Am I right?
Or am I just hotboxing the shit out of this town right now? Woo!
That's right.
No, that was not the case.
Oh, shit.
No, but it felt like there was like a sort of like post sort of firework haze.
Oh, there was a stench for sure. There was a stench all up in my backyard from just the neighborhood fireworks. So I don't know.
There's always just an emotional hangover from the fireworks because they're so fun and so just, you know, I live and die with each one of those bang bangs going off.
Do you sell it? Like, do you wear red, white? I'm curious, as somebody who's like a new father and is very cynical towards the United States, like I was very split on how to celebrate. But like, do we dress him up like wearing red, white, and blue or some shit? Or do I tell him, like,
you know this country hates you, right?
Yeah. I didn't know which way to play it. So we went red, white, and blue.
Yeah, we didn't really do much, but we were just kind of chilling. So,
no.
We didn't dress them up like Uncle Sam this year. Yeah.
At what point should I tell my child that this country hates him?
I mean, I would just start sort of whispering sweet nothings to me. Oh, you're a little cute baby. You need to understand that this country's not really for him.
Right.
Oh, you sort of like kind of start like that.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. Slowly turn the volume
sooner,
up. Yeah. And then
you
and
need
then
him
we'll...
literally a problem by kindergarten.
Oh, yeah. He's going to he'll be able to recite every Rage Against the Machine lyric by the time he's 5. Yeah. That's guaranteed.
You need him a child to be like, do you want to play in the sandbox with me? And he's like, the thing you need to understand about sand is, and then some sort of, you know, like political diatribe about. Yeah.
Exactly. Go on. Yes. Okay. I will. I'm in my effort to make the most annoying child on earth.
Exactly.
It's just
you think drug dealing is bad? Have you seen the import export of sand, man? Shit is
wow.
Big Sand wants you to play in here, okay?
Who do you think breaks those rocks into little tiny sand? Kernels? Nah, that can't be it. Grains of sand. Anyways, Anna, we are thrilled to have you. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment.
Okay.
First, here are some things we're talking about. We're going to talk about that Ron DeSantis campaign video that dropped over the weekend that is like getting into the like surreal, bad, psychedelic experience levels of just openly embracing fascism. Also, like he doesn't, I don't know.
As you diagnose his campaign falling apart.
It's a mess.
He did come out as an alligator man.
Yeah, he's a big alligator guy. Both Trump and Biden are laser eyes guys. They're like dark Biden, dark Trump things are laser shooting out of their eyes. He came out with lightning coming out of his eyes.
Yeah.
So that's something. He's like trying to differentiate himself there. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Summer of the Shark Part 2. It's happening. It's all over the news.
It's happening.
It's happening, folks. Miles is going to do a little TikTok check-in for us. We're going to talk about two TikTok trends, Zillennials and Girl Dinner.
Yeah. Did not know what they were till now.
We're going to talk about the Barbie movie. We're going to talk about all sorts of shit, plenty more. But first, Anna, we do like to ask our guests, is something from your search history?
So I've really gotten into Architectural Digest.
Okay.
AD. Yeah.
And it's not even that like I got into it as more of they sent me 600 emails. So now I'm just into it out of just like the four, like just because I opened my email, I'm like, I guess I do need to know about Diane Keaton's real estate portfolio. So that's sort of where I'm at right now. But this morning, because I was having such a slow morning, I really couldn't even really, I woke up and couldn't really remember who I was.
That happens.
I opened my email and started reading all these sort of the emails they sent out. And the first one really caught my eye because it said, inside Nick Cannon's wide-ranging real estate portfolio. And then the subtext, which, not the subtext, whatever, the subtext is very clear. But it said, the multi-hyphenate and father of 12 has a penchant for buying properties for the people he loves. Now, is an incredible way of putting that the man has 12 kids and needs to buy 12 homes. Okay? Right.
Wait, the houses like for the mothers of his children, basically?
I mean, look, it dates back from 2002. Like when he like kind of had his breakout moment in Drumline,
yeah,
the sorry, famous Drumline, July 4th. But so from Drumline, you know, it starts and talks about the houses he built. But then, like as you go on, and sort of more kids start appearing,
right?
It's just just the whole article. I was sitting there like, Well, yeah, it makes sense that he would have a big portfolio of homes. He doesn't really have a choice. I did read that he has a nursery in his office building.
I just read this like in the first paragraph. A neon lit room with tumbling mats, a ball pit, and toy instruments.
Neon lights? Like neon, like bar lighting?
I guess.
I think it's just to make it more like fun.
Okay. Yeah.
Because the father of 12 children, many of whom are less than 1 year old. Yeah, we remember. We were here the last couple of years being like,
another one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. His publicist is working hard. Like, there's been multiple headlines about Nick Cannon, like, that are like his media empire. I think there was one in Forbes, maybe, or like one of those.
It's not his love of pseudoscience.
Right.
Yeah. You'll see on his podcast. But anyway, sure.
He has a penchant for buying homes for the ones he loves. Just say it what it is. Like, like the man has a penchant for, you know, sort of having multiple baby mamas, and that's fine. But like, don't try and sugarcoat why he owns so much property. Let's be real.
Yeah. It's just got this guy has a lot of obligations. He's got a lot of tables, man.
Yeah, he's got a lot of tables, and that's fine.
That? Yeah.
Good for him. He's an Arc Digest.
What's something you think is overrated?
Overrated. Actually, you know what? Here's the thing. I've had multiple sort of emotional reactions. First, sort of the
the viral marketing of the Grimace Shake situation, I was like, oh my God, this is genius. This is hilarious. Those kids, they're all dead, you know? Yeah. And then after a while, I saw about 1,700 more bootleg versions of that video. Yeah. And I started to be like, okay, you guys, you're not all dead, okay? You're all fine. It's just a sugary purple drink. Relax. What you could possibly be dead of is how much this viral marketing is now too much, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's sort of, now I'm kind of like, I started out being like, LOL, it makes no sense. How would a tape from Goodwill already have this footage on it? Right. Like, that means, like, that tape.
There
that,
are plot holes in those. Yeah, for
that
sure.
That TV cam was bought and donated within a 24 hours.
Yeah, right,
it makes no sense.
Hey, this found footage.
Just
we're finding
from Grimace's
all
birthday
over.
In the 80s. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, what? Like, that shake just came out. Who had the time to already do this? Anyway. And now it's like every influencer or YouTube star or I don't even know, Twitch star is now being killed by this shake. And I'm like, okay. Yeah.
It is
one
wild,
or
though.
Two cute. 18 in a row? I'm not buying it.
You're like, oh, I was really holding out for there to be a real epidemic of deaths from this milkshake, but I guess not. It's like any, but that's like kind of how TikTok is. At first, I would be like, wait, this person's just doing the other person's bit. And you realize it's more just about participating in the thing that's happening at the time versus being like, this is not originality in its highest right. form. This is merely another iteration of the previous trend I've seen. But yeah, it's fun to see the right. build on it.
Justin, let's take it from the top. I'll do a different AKA. Let's start it over.
But okay.
Oh, because you, no, like I thought that AKA was incredible.
Oh, okay. Good.
No, here's, get me wrong.
She was texting me. She's like, is he okay?
Yeah, actually,
while you were singing
drooling from the mouth the other night I had like at tennis Monday night before the day before 4th of July I had a really great shot and I screamed it was Grimace and I don't know why I did that because I had been at McDonald's earlier that day so it's sort of like sort of came out of me and every person looked at me and went the Grimace shake. And that's how you know
that's right.
viral marketing is truly an incredible art form. Okay. Yeah. You gotta give it to them.
This is one of those things where it's not that it was intentionally viral because people are like, this thing's fucking weird. And then it became now everyone's
like
talking
it.
About it. Yeah, because we're still trying to figure out what McDonald's, how they officially feel about people being like, it's basically Grimace ejaculating into a cup and you eat it and you die. Yeah.
That's hilarious that you think McDonald's isn't secretly behind all this.
Right.
I mean, if they are, then if they are, then I'm going to sue. We have to sue them because we were calling it Grimace come before anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's sort of on you for thinking that like original ideas are still a thing.
Yeah. Doing exactly like there's a spreadsheet. There's a flow chart somewhere that just says podcasters call it Grimace come in like one of the things.
Yeah.
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 Think it's their own idea, LOL, LOL. Okay, sure, bud. That's hilarious. We have been in your heads for years now.
You look back at your old emails, you're like, wow, you won't Grimace when you come into our restaurants. And I'm like, what the fuck? You've been saying it all these different ways.
It's like the rehearsal episode where he's like, what? Gunpowder is from China?
Yeah, exactly. It's like this, just I blame the Chinese.
Days exactly like these. Curse the Chinese for inventing gunpowder.
I just want to give one shout out to a woman I play tennis with. Absolutely lovely soul. Her name is Nadia. She went at one. Everyone else knows what I'm talking about when I saw that. She turns and goes, what's a Grimace? And I got to say, Nadia. God bless you, Nadia, for just being a real human being.
Yeah, not being terminally
not
online.
So deeply online. She's like a physician's assistant. She's a wonderful people. One of my favorite people I play tennis with. But her genuine reaction to what?
Yeah.
And I was like, you stay pure.
Because also
stay pure.
But also, Anna, you did the weirdest thing by proclaiming it was Grimace. Wait, what was the shot?
Grimace
like
were
you returning
shot?
Like a serve or something? Like it was like a nice drop shot you hit? Like, what are we talking here?
Is it like an Angels in the Outfield situation where Grimace's spirit came over you and like helped you do the awesome shot?
It was Grimace.
No, I honestly don't know why I yelled it. It was a small class of like sort of like the, like the main crew of tennis players. So it was just like a very fun class.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of a moment, like everyone was like cheering for me. And in a moment, I just yelled, it was Grimace.
Hey,
I honestly don't know. That's how sort of good viral marketing is. I don't really know where it came from.
Now,
it's just so instilled in me.
Yeah.
I'm like, a product of my generation. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Like trees to branches, cliffs to avalanches. Grimace. It was Grimace. Sorry. It's not Grimace did it. It was Grimace.
It was Grimace.
Twas Grimace.
Twas
Grimace who did it.
I haven't had a Grimace shake.
I have.
I know.
I just sort of not really drawn to sort of like
Jack left LA after he had it.
From...
Yeah, I haven't been back. It's
you're not
going
back.
Through a dark time.
He's chained to what a radiator.
Is something that you think is underrated?
Underrated. Yeah, that's a good one. Sort of like this is something because I was just at my parents' house and I have this fight with my dad every time I go home. Mm. It's sort of like a comfortable bed. Because my dad is at that point now where everything has to be the firmest thing you've ever fucking touched.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Firm beds, I'll burn you all to the ground. What the fuck?
How firm are we talking? Like, it doesn't
I'm
even feel like it's a mattress?
I'm talking like you sit on this bed and you're like, is this a bench? Like, it is
with
incredible.
A sheet on it?
Yeah, right. What my dad thinks he's getting away with in this house of his.
Wow. And what do you say? You're like, is this for real? And then what's his response? He's like, it's good for you.
Yeah, he goes like, well, I have back pain. It's like, that's cool. So why is it now almost in every guest room as well? Because you think all your guests have back pain?
Right. Well,
he likes to explore all the beds, you know, take a little
nappy. Here's the thing. I bought a foam topper for the one in my room because I was like, when I'm here, I'm not sleeping on a bench. I was like, I am your child. Okay.
Right.
Like, you brought me into this world. I will not sleep on a bench. And so, but then this time I went in and I was like, where's my foam topper on this bed that you shouldn't, like, why are you even around this bed? And he goes, well, sometimes I sleep in this bed. And I go, why are you sleeping in this bed? And he basically was like, well, I don't know. Your mom doesn't really like me around. which I was like, fair. Because you have undiagnosed sleep apnea and refuse to acknowledge it. But this is all very real.
Just like Joe Biden, yeah.
Yeah. And so, so we sort of kind of got into it. And I'm just like, come on. Get at least, like, if you need to get a good middle, like, you can't just force people to sleep on a firm
that's a
bed.
Yeah, that's
you
a
gotta
move.
Give them something.
I love a firm bed topped with a soft, like firm but soft. You know what I mean? Like, there's a firmness underneath. It feels like you're being held by a giant, you know?
But like a level of cushion. You just,
yeah.
I just want, I don't want like sort of like my hip and like, because I'm a side sleeper. So when I sleep on a firm bed,
that'll fuck you up.
It's like I'm being beat up.
Yeah.
I wake up in pain. And that's not fair.
You never want to like be like tired and you're like, oh, let me get in this bed, and you hop in and just sounds like, oh, fuck. Oh,
it's like all angles. You're like, that's not cool. Get us a good, comfortable bed. Underrated. A good, comfortable bed that doesn't feel like a bench.
And it doesn't, and it's not stinky either.
Yeah. You definitely don't want it to be stinky.
Okay. I don't know.
You also don't want the steering wheel to fly off.
The steering wheel flying off. Anyway. Yeah. Sorry. All right. I got to go.
Let's let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis.
Oh,
Ron DeSantis.
Randy Santos.
Randy Santos.
Randy Santos.
Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in-line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone. Transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system. Or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, you know, how to bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back, and we're talking Randy Santos.
Love Randy Santos.
Ran.
Randy.
That's what we're going to be saying in a couple months, that he ran for president. He's not running anymore.
There he is.
This guy, his campaign's in trouble, folks. I don't know. This is one of the weirder campaign videos. It's very extremely online, extremely TikTok.
If people had things to do over the weekend, God bless you.
Anna, did you see it?
Yes. And let's be real, it's just one of those Grimace Shake viral marketing.
It does turn into a Grimace Shake viral marketing thing.
But yeah, over the weekend, his campaign puts out this video. It says, the tweet said, to wrap up, quote, Pride Month, let's hear from the politician who did more than any other Republican to celebrate it. And they kick it off. They're juxtaposing this montage of Donald Trump basically saying, like, he's indifferent to LGBTQ people and saying, like, he didn't care what bathroom, like, Caitlyn Jenner used or shit like that. And then they juxtapose that. I'm just going to play a little bit of it. So you just hear this, like, weird fucking macho turn it takes suddenly, where they go, like, they're basically trying to paint Trump as, like, this pro LGBTQ president with, like, rainbow filter over everything. And then we get that fucking alpha male hit of content right after.
Yes.
Make America great again.
Psych!
No.
No. Chad.
DeSantis.
Christian Bale. We got, wow. DeSantis shuts down school's drag shows.
Peaky Blinders.
Science is crony anti-drug laws. St. Pride
Brad
event
Pitt.
Canceled. There's another
Jacked
that says,
guy.
This governor does not care. What the fuck? First of all, if anyone is on TikTok at all, you've probably heard that with so many weird, like, macho alpha man memes and shit. But
and Anna saw it over, you know, me on Instagram and pictures with me and my family over the weekend.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I will say, like, it's pretty incredible because it has me thinking of so much random shit that
right.
I sort of lost what the point of the video was.
Yeah, it's truly
completely.
Like it's again, for people who don't realize that it sounded just so hard to follow. But the whole point was to say, essentially, the distillation is Donald Trump loves gay people. Ron DeSantis hates them.
That's real, like, legitimately it.
Whoa. Because, like, it's so, he looks like fucking aggro. Then there's, like, buff guys that are greased up. You see Brad Pitt's Achilles from the movie Troy. Peaky yes. Blinders.
I know it's over to, like, call everything homoerotic, but it is, like, him being mean to trans people and gay people while, like, just showing gratuitous footage of, like,
the hottest
hot
men.
Dudes. Yeah, yeah, just, like ripped up. Hot dudes next to him, which I don't know what, like, I understand what they're trying, like, they're trying to do a juxtaposition that, like, what?
It
associates it in your mind, but, like, well, textually and, like, logically, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, what their social media person is just using, like, a format of TikTok to just be like, yeah. X and Y. But
yes.
When you're doing, like, policy, it just comes off. So it normally be like, this is how, like, you know, like some beta dude would, like, shoot a basketball. But here's how the alpha bro would do it. And they're like, whoa, this guy's yeah. so tough. But this one is just so weird because you're like, and this guy's a hateful fuck. And that's supposed to get people all rah-rahed about yeah. it. Yeah.
It's very unapologetic, earnest, and but like an earnest embrace of like things that are like people. I don't think people like ultimately, I don't know, like Patrick Bateman in American Psycho is, or like I think later there's Leonardo DiCaprio in Wolf of Wall Street. Like, these are satirical embodiments of like the excesses of like America and capitalism. And like, he's just like, no, that shit is cool. Like he doesn't have a sense of humor. So it's just this weird thing. Like, that's the thing that he lacks next to Trump is like, he doesn't have any sense of like humor about him, but like, no. Mainly it just reveals the problem. Like, his campaign is trying to be both more extreme than Trump and also like the more reasonable alternative, right?
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. Trust, I mean, this guy, but then there's like,
it's just weird that you're going after like a smaller portion of the electorate by running to the right of Trump. You know what I mean? You're like, that's how he's differentiating. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I guess I'm glad that this guy turned out to be way less savvy than like I had thought initially, because at first I was like, this guy might not make the same mistakes Trump will, but he just made the worst miscalculation by being like, I'm going to, like, the GOP's problem right now is that all of the policies are seen as bigoted and we're marching towards right. fascism. That's a huge negative. So I'm just going to dive head first into that and see if that helps.
Not I would really. Say he is sort of kind of nailing that, like, what is it? Wow, I can't even remember the word. When you're like, it's like you're creating this sort of world and it's like all these images are flashing before you. So it is, again, I can't stop going to viral marketing where he's like inceptioning us.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the Ludovico yeah. treatment from Clockwork Orange?
Yeah, yeah. Like where he's trying to almost make us think that he has a six pack.
Right?
Do you get yeah. that? Like, it's kind of working yeah. in a way where he's like, I'm Ron DeSantis. I hate gay
six
people.
Pack,
Trump
pack,
loves
muscles,
gay
muscles,
people.
Muscles,
and by
muscles,
the way,
muscles,
the most
muscles.
Important fact is that I have a six pack and you need a president who needs a six pack. And if you don't, like, have a president who needs a six pack, then you love gay people. And you're like, what?
It would have totally made sense if there was, like, it would have fit perfectly if it said DeSantis is Chad or, like,
yes!
you know, like something just like right. flashing text on the screen. Like, it's so, yeah, it's just so cynical and like openly so.
Yeah. Well, and by the end, I was literally like, wait, did Ron DeSantis star in 300? Like, I couldn't remember anymore, like, where I was. And I think that's actually kind of a genius move by him, even though, like, we as, like, normal folk can see through sort of the bullshit. Like, I think it works really well for his base because they start to be like, he has a six-pack. My president needs a six-pack.
And he was
then,
in Peaky Blinders.
Trump no six-pack. Easy. Right.
They go on the debate stage. All right, then. All right, Trump, lift your shirt off then, buddy. Six-pack off right now. That's
and
what I thought.
And if he doesn't like six-packs, boom, he loves gays. And it's like, I don't
he
know,
wins.
Man.
Perfect triangulation. Perfect triangulation.
That's what
There's
I got
something
from all
about
that.
Fascists and bodybuilding, too. Like,
yes!
Just,
it's,
yeah.
it's
like
a
that
real
music
thing.
With the bodybuilding, like something about the like power and like desexualized nudity. Like,
yeah.
really, really, they love that shit. So.
Well, and
they
I think
really
also,
do.
because so much of the imagery has to harken back to traditional gender roles too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's a huge, they're not saying it out loud, but that's what they all say to each other is like, we need to go back to the fucking 20s basically. Yeah. And men need to be fucking men again. I don't know what happened to men, and women got to get back in that damn kitchen. Like, and that's sort of what all their policies, they're trying to like nudge society back in that direction. But again, just, I don't know, just shitpost your way to masculinity with these cool.
It does seem to be his theory of on the case is that like he can just shitpost his way. And like, I think he saw that Trump's power comes from his like willingness to like go far. And so he's like, well, we need, like, that seems to be the one ingredient that he's like not willing to lose as he takes like further develops this campaign, is like he's just going to keep going further and further, even though he has to have like so many advisors being like, no, just be the Jeb Bush, be the reasonable guy.
He's like, I'm not going to win.
Think
like
he has
that.
Advisors?
I mean, nobody is probably telling him the truth, but yeah, he's probably, I think he's mostly advisors. I think he's like a composite of a bunch of advisors.
See, everyone says he's like a robot, like he doesn't have any personality. But I think, yeah, this is just on top of too all the stories you're reading about how in Florida they're losing a lot of money because conventions are just fucking not going to like places like Orlando or Miami, because like it's a big draw for like international or national organizations to be like, and here's our convention in Orlando or whatever. They're losing like millions of dollars, like, constantly, as people are like, actually that thing that was going to bring 15,000 people there, nah, not going to do it, because either A, the organization is like diametrically opposed to his policies, or even if they're not political, they're just like, nah, we'd rather not even like invite any criticism of being associated with the state. So I don't know, I don't think he even cares anyway, because like, I think he's following the example of many others. You can shitpost your way into the fucking halls of power basically in this country if you do it cleverly enough.
There's also the picture of he and Casey DeSantis on a beach where, like, he's in shorts and, like, a baggy shirt and just looks like, you know, a guy in his mid-30s who was in a fraternity. And people, I think it went viral because people pointed out that they are walking on the beach and there are no footsteps behind them.
It looks like a fake ad, for, like, when SNL does fake ads.
Yeah.
This feels exactly like
that. Well, also, his wife doesn't have feet.
Yeah, his wife is like stepping on her dress or is just
made
of dress material.
She has one leg.
Yes.
That's in the center of her body.
He's got his right leg cocked like he knows how to walk. But it based on the fact that there are no footsteps in the picture, it would appear.
So what is that saying?
I just think that this would... He needs to get tougher than this image would be my reaction. My guess is that his campaign like saw this and were like, oh, no. This guy does not evoke lightning coming out of his eyes.
But like, you know, soft. It's like one set of footprints because like God was carrying you over the hell. Yeah. So like, what does zero set of footprints say?
That you're both not human.
Yeah. That you walk backwards on the beach.
That maybe. You're lizard people, which is another thing I think people are overlooking. One of the last frames of that video is Ron DeSantis as a gator mouthed fucking like humanoid. Like, yeah. I don't even know. So then he's also saying, I'm in the swampland trying to bite off your feet like a little alligator. Like, what? Who are you? Are you Peaky Blinders? Are you Gator Man? Are you into buff guys? Ron, help us here.
But yeah. He feels strong.
On goes
the
bigot
train.
He wants
us to think of Steve Irwin.
Yeah, probably.
Anna, were you thinking, like, the word you think it was, like, splicing? Like, he's, like, splicing, like, almost splicing these frames in. So, like, we're not registering them, but we're, like, making those associations. We're like, wait, did he have a six-pack in that one frame? Maybe he did.
Yeah, I think splicing is a word for like sort of like creating like a sort of propaganda and while simultaneously like inceptioning people with like content. I forget what it how.
We're calling
like
it Randy
form
Santos
of like editing that. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, with like a club beat that you could potentially hear at a gay club.
Yeah. I feel like that is the song that you would hear at a like gay club in Berlin in a 1980s movie. you know, or like a movie, like an action movie. They'd be like,
oh,
this is
the second track that plays in that video.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that's like has this like funk genre feel to it. Anyway, it's all detuned MIDI cowbells for all the music nerds out there.
All right. Well, don't get distracted by DeSantis because we have big news that is super real and very important that everybody should be paying attention to. And that is that the Summer of the Shark is back, baby. Summer of the Shark Part 2. I remember there was a news story a couple weeks back that tipped. They were like, it was like a weird non-story, but they were like, yeah, the ocean's full of sharks, you guys. Like, there's a lot of sharks out there.
Just, wait, really?
Yeah, it was like something about how like environmentalism has made it so that the seas are like just swarming with sharks, and we might be in for the Summer of the Shark. If you'll remember, that was on the front page of Time magazine when 9/11 happened. They were calling it the Summer of the Shark because there were like a couple high profile shark attacks that summer.
Right.
So now we're getting news stories about how an aggressive shark sent a swimmer fleeing in shallow Florida waters. So like that is just a person saw a shark and moved away from the shark is the news story. But it's like on the front page of Drudge.
My mother-in-law recently told me that she was in Florida and like for the first time, like the lifeguards were like screaming shark and everyone had to get out.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, maybe there's something to this.
But maybe that she could have been that woman they're referencing.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's possible. But yeah, I've heard Florida shark stories this week.
I think there's also something to do with like in the same way that we started seeing a lot of balloons, like spy balloons, once we heard that there was a spy balloon. Mm-hmm. And like once we turned our technology to catching the spy balloons, I'm just going to read a paragraph from one of the stories that they're linking off to be like sharks are back and they're pissed. Mm-hmm. Quote, this morning prior to lifeguards going on duty and our authorizing swimming, we had a complete drone patrol. And right here in front of Field 3, we saw a school of sharks. There were approximately 50 sand sharks there. The beach was closed and, oh yeah, so this is Charles Gorman, New York State Parks Regional Director, and then the beach was closed once more after a possible shark sighting, but officials determined it was a dolphin. So,
But like also, like, sand sharks, like, you have to fuck with a sand shark to...
Yeah.
I was into sharks. I'm like, sand shark, you have to, like, step on it to get bit by a sand shark kind of thing. So I like that they're also just observing things like, yeah, they live there, but they're not the kinds that typically are attacking people.
And the fact that we now do thorough drone patrols and report if we see a single shark where they live to like a media that is like very eager to gobble up anything with the word shark in it probably has something to do with this being a trending story.
So Jack, so in your estimation, it is not the Summer of the Shark, or you're all in? Because I know you love sharks. You pray every day for it to be the Summer of the Shark.
2001 was the Summer of the Shark, whether it was an important news story or not. Time magazine declared it such. So I think we might be in for another one of those where people are just sort of sublimating their residual anxiety over the state of the world into being afraid of sharks.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's fair. Although, but you're one of the few people who like wants to get their whole shit.
Wants to get eaten by a shark. Yeah,
fully. So that's why you're in the East Coast. You heard that's where there's more sharks out. Are going out there, man.
Got a lot of sharks out here. All right. Should we take another break and come back and talk TikTok?
Yeah.
Talk and talk? All right.
Yeah.
We will be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out What's New on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And yeah. Miles, it's time to check in with the
TikTok
with
check
the folks
in,
on TikTok.
A couple buzzwords out there.
You pay attention to TikTok, Anna.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a millennial?
A what?
A millennial who's really into Volodymyr Zelensky?
No.
No. That would be so funny. No, so the first thing I saw was
Zelenskenial.
Zelenskenial. But yeah, buckle up because it's time to get hip with the kids on TikToks.
Oh, boy.
So there is one thing that people are talking about. Zelenial are like the people who straddle both Gen Z and millennials, loosely born between 1990 and 2000. So that's you, Anna. Do you see yourself as a millennial or a zillennial?
Oh, no, I'm definitely millennial energy.
Yeah. Okay.
Because there are certain things I see
and I go like, the kids these days.
Right. Like
that's
the Grimace Shake thing. So
I feel like we're seeing some generation drift here because like Gen Z is late 90s. Like, I feel like this is a story written by millennials who want to be Gen Z.
Well, no, this is, so what happened, a lot of Gen Z people are like, they say, I could clock a zillennial from fucking 500 yards away. It's mostly Gen Z kids that are observing it.
Okay.
And it's more that, like, they're like, one person's like, they wear straight leg pants, not skinny jeans, like a real millennial, but they also may wear baggier Gen Z type pants. And I'm like, okay, that's not really the best indicator. Then are also like one interesting was like they post pictures of themselves having fun with their friends. Millennials just do the selfie. It's the
Wait,
solo
funds
selfie.
Plural with their friends?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Having a lot of funds.
So Zillennials do the fun with the friends, regular millennials
with selfie.
Selfie. What does Gen Z do?
Just very what they say, just yeah, or out like blurry photos because
abstract.
I'm not pressed by this.
Okay.
I'm just taking pictures.
Abstract,
I'm in the moment. That's my
photo
vibes.
Dumped with obscure caption.
Absolutely. Or like two emoji or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they have nothing to do with whatever the pictures are. And then another one is like basically saying like these like zillennials are like terminally online like most young people, but also remember the days of renting physical media at Blockbuster. And ultimately, it just feels like it's very difficult to define what these in-between generation people are. You kind of just are firmly in one or the other, I feel like. I don't know. As I find myself being a, quote, geriatric millennial, as like the oldest cohort of millennials. But I don't look at it as me being like, which side am I on? I'm like, I think I'm just like the kid that was held back a bunch in the class, so I'm older than everybody.
Right. Yeah. I get that energy from you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what Gen X habits do I have except for wanting to do cocaine and hack computers all the time?
Yeah, those tiny little hacker glasses that you wear.
Oh, yeah.
I will say, I think fashion is not a good indicator because fashion, the trends sort of transcend age. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah.
Well, if you're even remotely interested in fashion, you will always follow the trends regardless of age.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My cargo pants I wear now and when I'm in dad mode, baggy as shit. Because I'm like, you know what? If we're going back to it, let's get baggy again. But yeah, it's not. But if a kid asked me like who, you know, my favorite artist would be, I'm like, Missy Misdemeanor Elliott.
Who? Yeah.
What? Yeah. Oh, my grandma's favorite singer? She ain't a singer. She's hip hop. Okay, you know what I mean? Yeah, she does sing a little bit, but she does a lot of other things. So, yeah.
We talk about how, like, the different classes are, like, you're only aware of the class that's, like, directly above you and directly below you. And, like, this story is, like, so far out of my range that it's none of this is real to me. I don't know who any of these people are.
Wow.
You don't know who Missy Elliott is?
I don't know. I've never heard of Blockbuster. Yeah.
How old are you?
I was on the Titanic.
I heard of Betamax tapes.
Yeah.
I used to rent those. Do you think of yourself as Gen X, Jack?
I do. So this is like, that's what, when I was saying that there's like some creep happening here, I remember like when it was cool to be a millennial, I think a lot of like Gen X people who were like, I'm late Gen X and like I was born in 80. So, but then like people were like, no, you're actually an elder millennial. And I was like, yes. Yeah. I'm an elder millennial. Want that. But yeah, I think I'm just I think that's more people wanting to be young who are creating these new categories.
Yeah. I mean, I think Gen Z has a penchant for really good marketing and labeling things that like already like we just know to be true. Like Chugi was just like, whoa, what is that? And you're like, you know, just it's what they're calling the shit that we do. Oh, okay. It's not like a whole like, you know, system of thinking. The other thing that I came across, and Becca, super producer Becca, was also helping me understand, was girl dinner.
Yeah.
Which as I saw, I was like, oh, these are nice charcuterie plates that people are putting together. But no, girl dinner was just, you know, a way for women to just throw something together to eat in a way that is low effort and not having to cook for yourself or guests or a partner or something like that. And just indulge in some of your favorite foods you have lying around in a nice, beautifully arranged plate. But to
actually, I now see why I don't identify as a millennial, because I'm actually Gen Z, because this is totally me.
You love that plate full of burrata. So some of these people have like their plates are, they look like full on charcuterie boards. And I thought that was like the fucking whack thing to do, was to be into charcuterie. That was like a very millennial thing. But I guess we're coming full circle and just cobbling together. Again, what I call just cobbling shit together that you have to make a meal because you don't want to cook. But I get it. This has been branded something a little bit different.
These girl dinners look like they took 8 hours to make.
Oh, the way they're arranged? 100%.
Yeah.
It's for the vibes, you know, obviously.
The TikTokification of dinner is a very fascinating thing, because a real girl dinner is me. I cut brie up a little too large pieces. I put prosciutto on that. I put that on the bread. I throw it out on a pan, and then I eat it right over the pan while being like,
Wait. Why is it in a pan?
Exactly.
Wait.
Why is it in a pan?
No, you're cooking.
Why is it in a pan?
She's making grilled cheese with
Miles. Why is it in a pan?
Oh, it's a prosciutto. I thought you were just had like loose bread. You're like, and I gotta eat it over this hot pan. I'm like,
that's
what
I'm saying. Yes, I'm making like an open face sort of like grilled cheese with prosciutto on it. But like, it's kind of like, what am I doing?
I would much rather eat.
And then I'll just grab a cucumber, just eat the cucumber. And that's dinner, baby.
Yeah. Mine is loose turkey slices.
Yeah.
With like a this block of like cheddar cheese I got that's like slightly fancier because it's like got that more tang to it, like when it's English cheddar. Then probably like loose pickles, kimchi always, because I always have to have kimchi in my refrigerator. And what the fuck was, and like whatever loose dips I get from like Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get some dips on there. But I would never put them on the same plate together.
That's too much energy.
I would so much rather have like the ingredients of a sandwich with pretzels as the bread instead of like having the like a sandwich with
do you do that and you put cheese. A little you put a little dollop of mustard, like some dipping mustard
some dipping mustard on the side, and then that can, you know, because those pretzels work with hummus too, so I can start working that into the action. And it's just a it's kind of a non-ending never-ending grazing thing, whereas a sandwich, once you eat the sandwich, you're done. But
I like
the open-endedness of,
Well, you know, again, like this isn't without controversy either, because, you know, there's like also a very unhealthy trend of posting like, you know, like their own versions of a grill dinner and ends up slight like probably promoting like disordered eating and things like that, or just, you know, the toxic loophole of like comparative living when people start seeing like that's what this person eats and they look like X, Y, and Z. So, again, you know, social media isn't without its dark sides, it turns out. It's not just all fun and games and grimace come.
Like when Gwyneth Paltrow came through and was like, yeah, and then for dinner, I like to have a nice bone broth. Oh, yeah, that's...
I saw a video of somebody fucking up making bone broth on TikTok where they're straining it, but they just dump the contents into the sink. Like they don't have a secondary thing to catch the bone broth. They just put a strainer over their sink and then dumped it all out. And then after they're like, oh, fuck.
Damn.
You poured out the good bit.
I don't even get it. They just threw it in the sink?
Like, they were thinking, like, when you're making pasta, you know, like, and you're draining your pasta. When it's like, you need... The whole point was to keep that motherfucking water. But you just dumped that shit, and you strained it out. And then, like, it's just the reaction, like, oh, fuck. Yeah. Hours gone. Hours gone. Oh, Becca saw that one. See? We're out here. See? I'm also Gen Z as well.
Mm-hmm. We're all Gen Z.
Thank you.
Gen Zex. That's me.
Yeah. I think you know, maybe I am more millennial because I do like to sort of engage with that content. But actually, I'm starting to think maybe there is like a fine line between like the amount of patience you have for scrolling at your age. Because I hit a point with TikTok where I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I simply can't do it. Like, I stopped scrolling on Instagram. Sorry?
Do you ever scroll on TikTok till you get the video where they're like, hey, motherfucker, you've been scrolling a minute?
I never get there.
I get there a lot.
Okay, well, then you're more millennial than I am, because I lose patience with TikTok pretty quickly.
I'm such a baby. We all know that. I'm 23 years old. You know.
Did anybody get the Twitter, like get to the end of Twitter?
No, I haven't even gotten there.
I did not either. And I was like, oh, I'm mad in theory, but... Damn, I do not.
I think it's a good thing. I think we potentially might have like sort of a good sort of we stop.
Yeah, yeah.
I was saying like, okay, that's enough.
12
of that.
Tweets a day. That's plenty.
Good. Got to make them good though. That wow, that makes you even more like picky. Like, ooh, whose tweet am I going to look at today? Better be a good one.
you can choose.
No, but I'm
maybe in this hypothetical future where you like
when we're rationed
to choose them. I like to be mindful about my Twitter consumption.
Yes.
Just absolutely. Like a nice dozen bone. I just sip a bone broth and read my 12 tweets of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I'm just really surprised none of y'all scroll to the end like that. I'm glad Becca.
Did you get to the end of Twitter?
No, I get to the end of TikTok.
TikTok does.
I do. Like, I think if you go like an hour straight, they're like, yo, what are you doing? And I'm like, what? What time is it? And then like my baby's like asleep in my arms and shit. I'm like, oh my God, he's 14.
Wow, so you scroll and so your baby can hear TikTok?
No, I have my AirPods in.
Okay, I was going to say, you can't let your baby hear
TikTok. No, I'm not going to. No,
the whole point is having your AirPods in so you have the noise cancellation on so the baby crying doesn't like ruin your vibe.
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly.
Okay. That's like sort of my number one parenting rule is not being a parent is like never let the baby sort of hear TikTok.
No, it's like a whole like a miasma, if I'm using the right word, of just all
kinds. Sort of like you don't really want the baby to hear certain words like girl dinner or riz or sort of like you don't want the baby to like sort of like take in these concepts just yet.
Oh man, the second you said my 5-year-old had riz, I went and told him. And I was like, how do we cultivate
this? Well, five is fine. Five is good. Right. Five is okay. Where you do start making them a content creator.
Yeah.
Anything before that, you're sick.
Yeah. Anything before that, I'm just shaking my head and judging you.
Mm-mm. Son, it turns out you have the riz.
Yeah.
I don't know what it means, but we're going to figure
this out. Actually, I'll give you
together.
Four. You can make your child a TikTok creator at four, but as long as you have their consent.
Yeah.
And you do need to explain what consent is to them and sort of like pull up some legal documents, make sure they sign. And then also make sure they have their own lawyer to be able to go over sort of what you are presenting them with your lawyer. So just have like his people talk to your people and make sure the baby is fully aware of what they are agreeing to as a content creator. And then and only then can you allow your baby to sort of hear TikTok in the background.
Yeah, I agree.
You are going to be like the actual living embodiment of that. Was it a Funny or Die sketch? Or no, Human Giant, the Shutterbugs, the people who like represent children.
Oh, actors, the baby agents.
Baby actors.
Here's the thing. I'm not going to see my kid, okay?
Because my child will be so fucking booked and busy. Yeah. We're not even going to have a relationship.
I won't be able to get any of their time.
Oh, you see your kid? Wow, I feel bad for you. Your kid ain't working? Wow, okay.
Damn.
It'll be like that Atlanta episode and then one of the more recent season where the Donald Glover's baby mama, her daughter gets like put into like this like Tyler Perry like system and she's just going studio to studio trying to find her daughter. And they're like, oh no, she's already been moved to that other show she's starring in. She's like, what? Why didn't anyone tell me?
It's a slippery slope.
All right. Finally, Barbie movie coming. I think people think it's going to be a big hit.
Barbenheimer?
Barbenheimer.
We were talking about this. Day. Would you see both movies in one day?
No.
Yeah. Okay, Two movies in one day. I love movies, but I also, like, something starts to feel weird being in the movie theater that long. I've tried it before and I couldn't do it.
Why would you only have one day of fun when you could have 2 days of fun?
That's right. And Oppenheimer, supposedly, a blast. That was a bad pun, but it's supposed to be fun. A very fun
movie.
Well,
let's be real. We all want to fuck Cillian Murphy.
Yeah, we do.
I mean,
we're all like,
so does Ron DeSantis.
Peaky Blinders, you got a little boom in you, huh?
Yeah.
What?
I don't know. I really just want to fuck Cillian Murphy. I'm sorry. What if that was my energy?
Oh God, the way you just said that was really upsetting. God, Anna.
You can see your saliva threading around your mouth.
That's my new bit. I just want to fuck
Cillian Murphy. Okay. Well,
I'm so sorry to everyone.
Thanks for coming on Creature Feature.
That's an edit, and we're going to keep moving forward.
I'm just saying, I will say like sort of the Cillian Murphonissance through Peaky Blinders is quite incredible. Like they brought him back into this sort of like this, cause I don't know, like, I feel like he played like sort of, you know, interesting characters before, but the Peaky Blinders, dude,
it's got you.
I never wanted to be like, sort of like a, I don't even know. The women are treated so poorly in that show. It's like all of a sudden it's like, treat me poorly, silly.
Yeah, 1920s. Like, that's what
is
DeSantis
it
is going
or Cillian?
For.
Does anyone actually know?
I've always called him Cillian, and he's never
too.
Corrected me. So,
oh, you know him?
That's on his ass.
You know him and he didn't introduce?
No, I don't know him, but it's on him if I'm pronouncing it wrong to reach out.
I don't know. I just think he's so hot. And then like the idea of him now being like,
it's Cillian.
Oh, it is Cillian.
Yeah.
There's no way.
I always say Cillian, and I feel like I say it because people correct me all the time. I go, nah, I ain't it.
Okay, so Cillian. All right, so then I have to retake all the Cillian Murphys. I just want to fuck Cillian Murphys.
Until someone, you're going to knock at
Justin,
your door.
Justin, I'll do a pickup after.
Knock at your door. Hi, who Cillian are you? Murphy. Hi, I'm Cillian Murphy. Oh.
Oh,
no.
You rang? No, not you.
No, I just want to say, like, I think it's great casting to sort of put, like, Margot Robbie in a massive movie and then Cillian Murphy in another massive movie. And so, like, it's almost like the, like, we just want to, like, fuck these movies.
Yeah.
With an atomic bomb.
It's honestly genius to bring these movies
prestige,
out at the
prestige,
same time.
Because
we are all so horny at home that we just want to fuck these movies. Okay.
Not even the people, just the concept of the movie.
Yeah, conceptually, like, I've lost sort of what the movies are even about. Even though they're pretty clear, like Barbie and Oppenheimer. Like, I'm just...
I want to have sex with Pink and one with Mushroom Cloud.
Huh? It's kind of, it's the it's truly the perfect American side. Like, they, viral marketing, baby, they did it. They're so deep in us that we're like, yes, yes, yes. It's genius, dude.
Barbie and the Atom Bomb at the same damn time.
Yes. It's literally what America is about. Bombs and Barbie. Like, think about it, dude. You got it. Jack, I'm going to need you to go like a level deeper inside yourself and really think about what they're offering us here. We live in such an incredible time of sort of content, marketing, sickness. Like, we are so deep in that we're like unwell, but like to a point that we're so unwell that we're thriving. You know what I mean? I love it. I'm so
we couldn't
baby.
Be unwell. We couldn't be more unwell in a better way.
That's like when I hit a great fucking shot and it just goes straight past that person's racket and hits right in the corner. You scream, it was Grimace. That,
it
my
was
friend,
Grimace.
Is America. That is That's America, baby. Woo! 5th of July. Here we are. I just got my second win.
Mr. Producer Justin, I don't think I have to tell you that there should be a swelling orchestra behind that whole speech.
Yeah, play that one bit, Inception. So, that you play on TikTok.
But it's true. Like, am I saying anything that's not right? Like, they've nailed it.
It's true.
Yeah. Truly, truly.
So we were going to take this opportunity to talk about the fact that this is one of those toy movies that we, I think, covered a long time ago. And we're like, man, they're going to make a fucking Barbie movie. That's stupid. We were wrong.
Yeah.
And they are going to, they're keeping coming. It's they Mattel Films has in development, and who knows how much in development means it's going to actually happen, but they did give Greta Gerwig a Barbie movie, so that it seems like they're willing to try some weird stuff, and this is some wacky, wild stuff coming from Mattel Studios, the Mattel Cinematic Universe.
Mattel Films has 45 films in development. They've announced 17. The one of the latest that we know about is Lena Dunham directing Lily Collins in the Polly Pocket movie.
Yep.
We don't know what the vibe is of that. Then they're making a video or a film off the card game Uno, potentially starring Lil Yachty. And it's a heist movie in the hip hop scene in Atlanta. So I'm like, okay, if you keep doing things like this, rather than being like, it's about the most high stakes game of Uno in town, then maybe you have a shot at doing something interesting. Daniel Kaluuya is directing a A24 type surreal movie about Barney.
Yeah. We've covered this one before.
Yeah, which looks like it's going to be like that. Okay, you got something vibey there. Then there's Major Matt Mason. Tom Hanks is starring in a movie about the toy that inspired the toy that Buzz Lightyear is based on.
Oh, boy.
That can't be true.
Yes.
You just made one up.
No, that's a thing. Jack, it's going to get wobblier. We got the 8-Ball movie, Magic 8-Ball movie. Still not sure where that's going. They say it's going to maybe be like a thriller type movie. Okay. He-Man, Masters of the Universe. They didn't learn from the Dolph Lundgren one, but they're going to take another stab at it.
This one feels like it deserves another shot. Like, I feel like kids are just waiting for a He-Man to come through.
And I need a He-Man! That's what all the kids are saying right now. There's a Thomas the Tank Engine movie in works, a Hot Wheels movie by J.J. Abrams.
Gold.
American Girl Doll movie, which people have described as Bill and Ted meets Booksmart.
Yep. No, these are like they're on a run right now after the Magic 8-Ball movie, which who the fuck knows what that's going to be. But He-Man, Thomas the Tank Engine, Hot Wheels, American Girl Doll. Yeah, those are good. Wait,
Jason Bateman is attached to something that's based on the Chatty Cathy and Betsy Wetsy dolls.
Now you've lost me again.
Yeah. It's a dog. It's a doll that does pee pee and you have to change the diaper.
Oh,
and Chatty Cathy was just like the pool string one.
Yeah. Yeah. It had like a bunch of phrases it said.
Yeah.
Then there's a Viewmaster movie, like the little
Viewmaster
fucking
is just the little thing you look through.
Yeah, exactly. Someone called it like a kid's dissociating device.
It was
like
analog VR headset.
Yeah, exactly. That was our kids. Let me say about the first VR, the Viewmaster, and then Wishbone,
the salad dressing.
No, the little terrier dog that taught you how to read. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So
should have done the salad dressing.
And any of those sound good to you?
Yeah.
Which one specifically?
That's going to do it.
I mean, we sit here and we go like, oh, give me a break. And then cut to us at every single goddamn movie. So what am I going to pretend like I'm not about to watch every goddamn movie?
No, but I'm saying which one appeals
fucking films?
Which appeals to you most based on what you've just heard is what I'm asking.
Oh, I mean, like, I'm sort of like down for this weird Barney shit.
Yeah.
Uno. Whatever, I watch it. Polly Pocket, sure, why not? Major Matt Mason. I can't read any of that. 8 Ball, that's about cocaine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, let's be real, I'll watch it all. I'm sick. What did I just scream about? 5th of July, you know, here I am.
Yeah,
I love Hot Wheels. I love Thomas the Tank Engine. Will he get up the mountain?
Okay,
he will.
But
he's fine.
Are you unwell enough to see Barbie Oppenheimer in one day, see Barbie first, and then chase it with Oppenheimer after?
First of all, I literally just said earlier, why would you have one day of fun when you could have two? So no.
Okay, would you do it 2 days in a row?
Just do it 2 days in a row.
Potentially, yeah. I could do that.
Okay. Yeah.
Part of me wants to break my psyche and most people, like, if you saw both in one day, you'd see Oppenheimer, and then you just clear your mind with Barbie. But I want,
or you see Barbie, and then you blow the shit out of your goddamn.
Jack, there's a ghost behind you. Oh my goodness!
Oh my god! My 5-year-old just snuck up on us.
You didn't see him?
No, I was too engrossed. You really did frighten me. I was like, "How's this tie into the bit we were doing? Is it the Magic 8-Ball thing coming back?" No. Do you want to say hi? Huh?
Is he still there?
Hi.
Hey!
We don't say his name, but
cut it out.
Hey, boy without a name. Hello, boy without a name.
Hello, boy without a name.
Hey, Riz,
the horse with no name. Hey, Riz. Riz Khalifa.
Do you want to hear what they're saying to you? They're calling you Riz Khalifa. Do you know what that means?
No.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, no, it's okay. It's okay.
All right, man. I got to finish up here. Thank you for coming through and saying hi to everyone.
You talked to him like, what are you, James Corden with a guest on your show? Why do you talk to him?
Thanks so much, folks.
Hey, man, thanks for stopping by. I love to see you. It's always good to catch up. All right. Go see your mother
right,
now.
This movie is in theaters this Friday, everybody. Please check it out. Up next, we have Fleet
Everything
Foxes.
Is a negotiation. You got to, like, keep it very
Yeah, yeah. You're never
happy.
Telling.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the funny. Second it's like, you give, I get it. Like, you give yeah. a, like, I was the kind of kid, you give me someone to push against. Oh, I'm going to push yeah. on. I'm going to push against it. Yeah. Anyway,
can
all
I,
that to say,
can I,
he's yeah. still here, by the way. He's not gone.
Yeah, anymore. That's
of
fine.
Course not. Well, you're his father and you should love him. But here's the thing. Can I posit an idea? Mm-hmm. Okay. So
yes.
you've been giving me what? How's it pronounced? Mattel?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. I literally am slowly starting to like lose my sort of
I have to go close the door because he left it open like a real jerk. I'll be right back.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Okay.
Whoa.
His son is incredibly lovely. And honestly, the day that Jack can no longer host, let me tell you, we are going to be auditioning those two sons. Like,
oh, yeah.
Truly. Those two.
They're taking over.
Actually, screw my own kids. I'm here to manage Jack's kids.
I signed him to a 360 deal.
Yeah.
They've got an album
just,
coming
Jack,
out.
I was
got
just
a
letting you know, I
out.
Actually am signing your sons and I will be their manager. Because that's actually. Put your headphones back on so I can finish my hilarious bit. But I really would love to do sort of a succession with your sons to see who takes over Daily Zeitgeist. That's like my dream is to be like, bleep and bleep. Where, like, let's, anyway, that was their names. Okay,
rather than Jack being like Logan Roy, he's like, fuck off. He's like, hey, thanks for showing me that. Maybe we'll come check that out later.
You guys
my dad's
yeah,
such a pushover.
I think I would actually just rewrite Jack.
Yeah, yeah.
To be sort of a darker,
I'd just
more
be amazed
sinister
if they
figure.
Thought my job was cool enough to want to inherit. And yeah.
It's like, wow, oh, yeah. It's reverse
really,
succession.
Guys?
You're trying to convince the kids to want to take over the family business.
Daddy has a real job, too.
And they're like, Dad, I actually just want to be a doctor.
Yeah.
Exactly. I just want to float in the sea. I just want to float in the sea and get my shit bit by a shark. Anyway, what were you about to say, though, Anna?
So, anyway, I wanted to posit Hasbro.
Mm hmm.
Yeah.
That was it. What if that was all I wanted to say? No.
That sounds like the extent of a meeting in Hollywood yeah. right now, anyway.
You bring me Mattel, I give you Hasbro. No, here's the thing. Here's what we need. If we were to do a super dark A24 sort of Furby horror, who would you want to direct it? And star.
Furby. Yeah. They've done some good stuff with Furby and like
Furby.
I mean, don't think Hasbro is not out here. Like, we've got the Transformers. Hasbro is the one that has succeeded the most. The Transformers films,
right?
Dungeons and Dragons. Who can forget Battleship?
I think Furby would. I would just bring.
I mean, yeah, the Furby is coming back. Like super producer Rebecca. God, sorry, Becca. I was trying to say Rebecca Ramos.
I think if it's gonna be freaky, it has to have Toni Collette in it. Toni Collette right now is my freak queen.
Yes.
So I guess I don't know if I just have Ari Aster and it's just Hereditary, but with Furbies.
Starring Toni Collette and The Weeknd. Two people right now in my mind that I think of as the creepiest people in my mind.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah. So I would like to posit that and let's see who makes it. And I think if A24 did Hasbro's Furby, I think it could be a real hit. Sort of like they're doing an A24 Barney. I think like making it, because famously Furby creepy wouldn't leave you alone. I had to keep putting it to sleep in my closet. Okay. Like it's got an energy under it.
Yeah.
There's darkness there.
That's why I don't fuck with them things.
And that's why we need to have a creepy movie with it. Sort of like a
starring Toni Collette. Hereditary. Make it happen.
Yeah.
Well, Anna Hosnia, such a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist, as always. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Yeah, I'm at Anna Hosnia on Twitter. I'm at Selling Hosnia on Instagram, where I sell myself to you. I have a Substack, sellinghosnia.substack.com, which I am sort of in a weird writer's block situation where I'm like not finding any joy in anything. Maybe I should write about the sort of Oppenheimer Barbie sort of orgasm. but here's the thing, it just feels like it's already been done, you know?
Yeah.
Not like this, though. Not like this. You've got your own voice.
We'll see what I end up writing next. I've been writing a sort of succession final thoughts piece for like 2 months, it feels like. And I just can't finish it because I have so much I want to put in there. But sometimes you have to say when enough's enough.
Yeah. No, the people are still hungry for succession content. I think the timing's perfect. Is there a work of media you've been enjoying besides succession?
Yeah. Yeah. So, first of all, any content with Adele is truly incredible stuff. Did you see the video of her on Twitter?
From the Vegas show?
Yeah, Pop Crave posted it where she's talking about people throwing stuff at artists and she says, I fucking dare you. I dare you to throw something at me and I'll fucking kill you. And then shoots a fucking t-shirt gun. Like, it is unreal.
It is someone, pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Have you noticed how people are like forgetting show etiquette at the moment? People are throwing on stage. Have you seen that?
Sorry, it's her North London affect that you're like, but she's talking about, have you seen the people throwing shit on live on stage at live shows recently? Have you seen that?
She's good, a fucking good on gem. Her.
The most likable Tottenham fan.
And so Aram at Aram Not A Goat tweeted, I feel like Adele has the energy of a mob family matriarch. And it's true. Yeah. Have you seen any of her paparazzi pics where she's got her hands up at the paparazzis like a gun? Like she's yelling at them like, don't you be talking photos at night. Yeah, like her energy is so
I mean, you know, she
chaotic.
Was dating Skepta. You know, she's out here.
She is out here. And then the other thing I discovered online is the guy who reviews watches famous people are wearing to basically really let you know how rich they are.
Oh.
Because you know how like that Michael Rubin guy dropped his like white party like trailer for his party, made that video?
I didn't see their trailer,
so
but I heard
NBA
about that.
Talent. That's crazy. Yeah.
Oh yeah, so much NBA. I always say that. So much NBA talent. But anyway. I'm actually like famous for always saying like, yeah, so much NBA
so
talent.
So much NBA talent.
But yeah, there's this guy on TikTok, Chad.Alexander, who just goes through and zooms in on the watches and tells you how much every watch costs. It's incredible. For most part, they're all wearing like, you know, whatever, 100K to like 500K. And then just like Jay-Z rolls in with like a $7 million watch.
Oh my God.
$7 million.
Like a Richard Mille.
Go watch the video. I don't know.
I can't.
Like, I literally, he
my mind.
Every watch name was as if like brain bleach. Like, you'd be like, the blah, 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 blah,
right.
is worth this much right now. And I was just like, who is naming watches?
It's the guy's name.
No, but we call that an Audemars?
What the fuck?
Yeah, it'd be like the Audemars 4610-1812. You're like, what? Anyway, I don't know. I've discovered that. I really enjoyed it. Someone named McBeardy at Kitso.Morkissy is the one who posted. Said, this guy on TikTok who discusses watches worn at these. Now that's where you get to see how moneyed these celebrities are. And I just thought that was very interesting. An interesting sort of angle to look at sort of how rich people present themselves and how they want to be seen. And it's like through their watches. Fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's those all I have.
Miles, where can people find you? Is there work media you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter, Instagram at Miles of Gray. Find Jack and I on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack got Mad Boosties. Also, find me on 420 Day Fiance with Sophia Alexander. And I have a new podcast coming out I've been working on with Kaleidoscope Media. It's a true crime. This sounds like bullshit. This is real shit. It's called The Good Thief that I've been hosting. And it's about this figure in Greece who's like the Greek Robin Hood, where him and his brother would be like robbing wealthy people, like titans of industry, people who are like avoiding paying taxes to help the people, and would do a little old fashioned wealth redistribution. And it's like a really great story, especially given the era that we're in with just unfettered greed all around. The trailer just dropped. So check it out. Make sure you subscribe to that. It's coming out in a week. So, yeah, that is called The Good Thief, and I appreciate your support on that one.
Yeah.
Tweet that I like from at Sad Monsters, Frank Lesser, quote tweeted, first it's a Benny Johnson tweet, this is like conservative dude, but it said, legendary actor, they're talking about Scott Baio, announces he's leaving California after 40 years. Quote, it's become a third world country.
Wow.
And then at Sad Monsters, quote tweet, it said, Scott Baio is, quote, legendary in the sense that his career died years ago. And now he's a cautionary tale you tell children so they behave. And now that felt about right.
Yeah.
Wait, California is a third world country? So what's a third world country now?
Yeah, I don't even know. Don't start asking questions.
Don't encourage
don't try and follow that logic train. Also, did you see the Jennifer Garner, like at that Michael Rubin party, because Ben Affleck was there with his like eldest daughter, I think. And this looks just like Jennifer Garner. Like those Garner genes are strong as shit.
I know, which really like, God, another blow to Ben Affleck not even having strong enough cum to like support his genes. Like, what is happening?
Jennifer
dude?
Garner is like, I will just cleave my cells in two.
I was looking for the daughter. I truly thought that was.
I don't know. There's something really sad again about Ben Affleck not even having sort of like strong enough DNA to even like remotely like
to leave an impression on the planet.
Yeah.
Like, and that's a clone.
I generally feel like that guy cannot win. His online presence is just like,
yeah.
God.
Fucking A, man.
That's your daughter? That looks like Jennifer Garner only.
Like I'm involved. Where? And everyone's like, shut the fuck up.
Hey, get away from her, you fucking creep.
Yeah, leave that young lady alone.
It's a little girl, man. You're sick. It's my fucking daughter. No.
There's no proof of that. We took a DNA test and the DNA literally rejected
100%,
you.
100% Garner.
Jeez, how is it even possible? We don't know, but we now all believe in Jesus. Isn't that crazy? Wild. Immaculate conception. That baby was born with immaculate conception because there's no way, baby. Sorry, Ben.
All right. Tweet I've been enjoying. Todd Spence at Todd_Spence tweeted, singer Michelle Phillips from the Mamas and Papas reaction to seeing her acquaintance Harrison Ford in a little movie that just opened called Star Wars. And then it's a screen cap of, or a photograph, I guess, of a book. I didn't even know Harrison was an actor. I remember getting dragged to Star Wars at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning by my stepbrother, who'd done some animation for the movie. I was sitting there watching the screen, and all of a sudden, Harrison comes on, and I gasped and said, "That's my pot dealer."
Wow.
Harrison Ford is cool.
Legend.
Don't lose fact of the lose sight of that fact.
Yeah, in, loves to crash planes.
Yeah.
Huge stoner.
Yeah. One of
That's why
he
crashes
ever.
All the time.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Hey, Miles, what's a song we think people might enjoy?
So I just came across this group of Danish DJs and producers, artists. They're called the Boom Clap Bachelors.
Yeah.
And this is like a track. I don't know how to speak Danish, so it looks like Tidenflyver. Okay, it's Tiden is the first word, and the second word is Flyver. But it has like the instrumental of like Don't Kill My Vibe, Kendrick Lamar underneath it, but they're singing in Danish. It's kind of cool. Just check it out. It's a very, very great. There's no like drum. There's no like beat drop or anything in it. Just a nice, like sort of ballady type piece. So check it out.
I was expecting accordions based on that title, but it's not. So don't worry. It's actually cool. Go check it out. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending. And we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.